That is great. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, as we have this last worship service of the year. Somebody said, what about Wednesday? Wednesday is Bible study prayer meeting. This is our last worship service, the Sunday, Lord's Day. And the Lord put on my heart to do something I normally don't do, I don't like to do. is to re-preach a message. And so I'm going to do that. The message the Lord put on my heart to preach, again, it's not, try not to be lazy, I don't like to do this, but is the very first message we preached this year. The very first, I think it was January, I don't know, what was New Year's Day? I have no idea what that was. January something, not New Year's Day, the first Sunday that we had the new year. And we put out our theme for the year. You remember that? It was our Vision Sunday. That's what we have today. Maybe you weren't here for that, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to look back. I mean, it was like 360-some days ago, right? And listen, has it not been a year, huh? I think it's great to look back at it in the lens of, you know, the Lord gave us a vision, and I believe the Lord gives a vision. He gives a power to fulfill that vision, and it has been an incredible year. I always appreciate, I think back 10 or so years ago when we started having themes for the year, at first we were like, what in the world, this is weird, you know? And it's been fun to watch y'all grow in that and get excited, and people always saying, what's the theme next year? What is it? As if I'm going to tell you. You got to be here for Vision Sunday for that. But again, I really do believe that this is something that we seek in the Lord, you know, for His church. And the Lord has a vision for His church, and we're really excited about it. So our 2025 theme was what? Run forward, right? And our verse was Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. So I'm going to read that. And maybe you all got good memory. Maybe you all like, I remember this message, you know? And that's great. I preached it, and I was going through it going like, wonder what I meant like that, you know? My notes are always very cryptic. I learned when I was in college, I was going to college for counseling psychology, and they always said, make your notes really cryptic in case they get subpoenaed in court. So I took that in the ministry. My notes are very cryptic, so if I ever get subpoenaed in court for sermon notes, I have no idea. But they're always, I got to like, Lord, what was I trying to accomplish there? So I enjoyed going through it again. But anyways, in Hebrews chapter 12, first three verses, and we start out with a wherefore, and I just think it's appropriate that we go back and see what it's there for. And the wherefore of Hebrews 12 is referring to Hebrews chapter 11, as we went through all of those who ran their race, those in faith. They went through some difficult circumstances, but they found, here's what they did. They went through their life, all these names, right, going on from Abraham to Moses and through all of these, and they chose to obey God and trust God through very difficult circumstances, and they found that God was faithful. And so it starts out with, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses? Those of chapter 11. Where are they witnesses of? That God is faithful. If we could line up all the witnesses of Hebrews 11, bring them all in here, and I'd say, you, yes, God's faithful. You, yep, God was faithful. Yep, you, God's faithful. And they're saying, we're telling you, we're testifying, God is faithful, right? He says, let us lay aside every weight. Especially after Christmas, putting on that weight, lay it off. I cannot tell you how many Christmas cookies I've ate this year. Of course, that's not what we're talking about. Lay aside every weight in the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Father, we are so thankful as we look back at this year, and we too join our voices with those of Hebrews 11. We say that God is faithful. We serve a faithful God. Lord, you've never let us down. You've never lost one. And so, Lord, we are so thankful for who you are. And Lord, as we look back at this last year, Lord, give us the memory that we need, and Lord, that we may all come to the exact same conclusion as we end this year and close the chapter and we look at this next year. Let us start with this song in our hearts. We serve a faithful God. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I love this. This always gets me so excited. It reminds me of the beginning of the year, right? There's a race that's set before us, and we are to run it, and it ends in verse 3, lest we get weary and we faint. We just run out of get up and go-itiveness, and we fall to the ground. And boy, in the beginning, the early days of 2025. We didn't know, right? Like, we knew there was a race there before us, and are we going to run it? What's it look like at Fox Lake Baptist Church? Or are we going to crash and we going to burn? And I remember boldly trying to stand here in this pulpit and saying, you know, this is what God has placed on my heart. And listen, we can walk. You'll eventually get to where you're going if you walk. Eventually. But if you run, you get there faster. And God has a purpose for us, and time is drawing near. And I believe God has a will and a plan for this church and for everybody as individuals. And we can kind of mosey on it, or we can get busy and get about it. Now, think about this. If you walk, walking is generally safer, okay? Generally, you're going to be, you know, you can kind of pick your steps and everything. But if you run, it gets a little more dangerous. Sometimes you might not see something, and you roll your ankle, you trip, and we said, you know what, I'm just saying, for what God's placed on my heart, I want this year to be drastic. I want to end this year drastically different than when we started the year. Do you remember me saying that? I said either drastically better or worse, but I cannot stand the status quo. I can't stand it anymore. It's been too many years of the status quo, and we need to run, and so it may get messy because running is messy, okay? I've been a runner for many years. I run races. They always have these photographers. I hate this. They put photographers on the course. No one looks good running. I have tons of photos, where, you know, professional race photos, and I got, it's not running on my nose, and I'm drooling, and I got some big sweats, and nobody looks good. You age, your face is going like this as you're going, and you look like you want to die because you feel like you want to die, and I get it, okay? It's different, and it's not easy, okay? And so the same thing, we take the same mentality of, you know what, let's throw caution to the wind, let's stop worrying what everybody else thinks. Let's stop playing how things look. Let's just get busy about God's plan for us and run it. Oh, man, that was so exciting. That's where we started. God has a race set before us, church, before you. In 2025, we decided that we were going to get busy and run it. Now, we started out this year, I said there's two truths, okay? Before we even get into the meat of the message, there's two truths we have to kind of agree. We have to have an agreement, okay? We have a contextual agreement. This is like, before we start the year, you've got to click the box, you've read the terms and conditions, and you agree with them before we can move on, okay? And then nobody ever reads those things, right? Who knows what we've signed up for in all this time? But here's the two things, okay? Number one, as we read the scripture here, we have to consider the truth that there is a race set before us. There's a race set before us. I don't find anywhere in scripture God wants us. Again, I know this morning it sounds like a contradiction. I said, be still, right? But sometimes that being still and knowing that, you know, God is God, that's part of your race, okay? And so God doesn't want us to just be still and twiddle our thumbs. And so we understand that your life is a race course. God has a plan for you. God did not create you and go, poof, Pastor Josh, let's see what he does. No, God had a plan for him. He was predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a plan for his ministry and for every single one of us. God has a plan. And so Paul uses that metaphorically. He says, hey, that's your race course. That's your race course. Point A, point B. Get there as fast as you can, or get there with as much effort as you can, right? So we all know that there's a time in our life we repent, we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we saw in verse 2, he is our starting line. Right? We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the author of our faith. We got saved. We trusted him, right? We're saved. And then he's also the finish line. That good and well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? So that is our race that we have. And Jesus sets the course. We don't get to set the course. Again, it's not a pick your own adventure. He sets the course. And so we go our own way, or we get lost and we waste our life, or we decide to follow him. But we have to understand, number one, there is a race set before us. Number two, you are expected to run. And when I say run, again, what is your gut reaction? Ugh, all right? No one, even some of these guys, it was funny, I went to teen camp this year. This is the teen camp this year, and our church went with First Baptist of Bridgeport, and so we kind of, it's the first time our two churches went together for a camp. And I was talking to one of the leaders there, and he said, what is up with your counselors? And I showed up to preach, and they said, what is up with your counselors? Uh-oh, what do you mean? I was being like, well, you know, Brother Josh from the South, go easy. You know, and like, no, all of your counselors are in fantastic shape. They're all like Olympians, right? I'm looking around, and Brother Josh, he was in his prime. He's had some Christmas cookies too. But Donovan's there. Like, who else was with you? Rob? I mean, exactly. I mean, it was like, goodness gracious, these guys all. And I'm like, yes, every single person in our church looks just like these guys, you know. That's it. He says, these guys are in fantastic shape. And can I just tell you this? If you mention running to them, they'll hate it. Nobody likes, most sane people don't like to talk about running, right? But here's what we're talking about. We're not asking you, and we didn't ask you this year, to physically go out there and run laps around the parking lot. When we say run, we mean a purposeful engagement in our race. The Apostle Paul says, here is the race, here's your course, have a purposeful engagement. Don't just kind of phone it in. Make it a priority. You got to get it done. And we understand there are different ways or different motivations we go about things. I've mentioned before that my wife and I, we got married. The opposites attract, okay? A lot of people are like, does your wife run? No, she does not. And I'm glad she doesn't. It'd be like Icarus flying too close to the sun. It just wouldn't work out. So opposites have to attract. There has to be a normal person and an insane person in every relationship, right? There has to be. I'm not telling you which one I am and which she one is, you know. But you got to have that balance. And so early on in our relationship, like, I love the outdoors. I love trails. I love being out in the bugs and all that kind of stuff and sweating. And I try to introduce her to my love. And I'd say, honey, let's go for a walk. And I'm tall. I got long legs. And I like to move with purpose. I am not a mosey person. I mean, you see me, I got places to go, I got things to do, you know, so I'm, and I would, and she hates outside, she hates the bugs, hates the snakes, and she'll, come on, let's go, honey, let's go, and she's making a statement, I don't want to be here, this is dumb, I hate this. One time we were on a honeymoon, I found a map on Mackinac Island, we're on a honeymoon, and it had a dotted course, and it said unofficial trail, and so we started on it, and let me tell you what, it was on a map, so how unofficial could it be, but it got kind of unofficial. I remember she got so mad at me, she's like, what is an unofficial trail? She didn't, I want to be like, now, on the other hand, take her to a mall. I can't keep up with her. She is gone. I told you, she puts her nose there. I'm telling you, this is an honest guy. She can smell purses and shoes with leather, and she just goes. Me and the boys, have you ever noticed, like, if you're in a mall strategically, they have those, like, comfortable chairs and everything like that? Like, me and the boys have learned, we can't keep up. Like, I run 100 miles, but I can't keep up with her. All of a sudden, we're at Kate Spade, and I'm just like, oh, thank you. You know, sit down for a little. And that's me. I'm kind of going, because I'll be honest with you, I don't really care about the mall. I like to be in nature. She doesn't care about nature. And so the thing is, that really, we got to decide that if God has a race for us, we all better get pretty excited about it. It better be something that we want to not go, okay, God, I guess I have to. Because obedience is all the way, right away, and with a good attitude. Right? We're actively pursuing God's will for our life. This is something that is kind of foreign to Christians today. Actively pursuing God's plan for your life. If you go and you sign up for a race, and if you were just, you know what, all this race talk, pastor's got me all excited, I'm going to sign up for a race, you'll find it in the woods. There's not always signs saying turn left, turn right. You don't memorize maps. What they do is they put these little survey flags in the ground. They're about this high off the ground, about 6 inches. At night, they have little reflector flags, and so your headlamp lights them up. Looks like little squirrels holding flashlights, and you just, so if there's a turn in the trail, you'll see the flags will go doot, 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 doot. They kind of go around the trail, and there'll be they call it a confidence flag, maybe a tenth of a mile in. So you see that confidence flag, okay, well, I'm on the right spot, right? Because there's a lot of forks in the road. Nobody expects to run a race, and you get to a fork and go, which way do I feel like going, right? But that way looks pretty. That doesn't. No, you don't think about those things. This is the course. The course director has this. If I want to get to the finish line I'm supposed to get to and not get lost, follow the course, right? And so the same thing, God has a course for us, and we as Christians have to let go of our own way and say, well, I feel like doing this, and saying, God, what is your plan for me today? What is your plan for my life? God, I want to surrender my will to your way. God, you lead because you are the shepherd, I am the sheep. And therefore, if I want to get to the green pastures, if I want to get through the valley of the shadow of death, if I want to make it to the table that thou preparest before me, if I want goodness and mercy to follow me, then the Lord better be my shepherd and I better follow him. So we understand, number one, there is a race set before us. And number two, we are expected to run. We got to live not for self, but to please him. We have to tell the flesh no at times. That's hard to do. We got to tell the flesh no, because any of y'all have ever ran, probably every one of us, whether in high school or something, you had to run the mile. Remember the presidential physical fitness award? I have never seen a president that could probably complete that. Yet we had to run it all. You know, we had to do it all the time. And nobody really enjoys running that. And the whole time you're running, this is how you know you're doing it right, is when it hurts and you want to stop. But you don't want to keep going. You got to say, no, flesh, no. You're not winning this day. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going and not let the flesh get the victory. So let's look at the race set before us as we run forward, and we've ran forward and we continue running forward. We got to run forward. Our race is an us race as well as an I race. Our race is an us race as well as an I race. That's number one. And again, look at this. It says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily doth beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have a us run and us race. So in the Roman Empire, and this is what the Apostle Paul is referring to, I know I've been talking about going out in the woods and chasing flags and squirrels with flashlights. This is not what their races were. To them, this is not, they didn't have video games and cool television like we have, right? So like, hey, there's races going on in the Colosseum. Cool, let's go, right? And you know, you've seen a Colosseum. It's a big oval, and it's almost like a high school track. And so if they were going to run a race, they would all show up, and on your mark, get set, go. And they might have a few different laps to do around this track. They're not going start, finish. They're going around and around and around and around and around. That means, essentially, they're almost always together. And again, that great cloud of witnesses, those of Hebrews 11, they're kind of the spectators. And here we are. We're running around, and we're going around. So we're running together. Now, you may say, wait a minute, we don't understand, but some people are faster than other people. Yeah, but we're all on the same track going around and around and around. So if you slow down, you might get lapped. If you're really fast, you might get up and catch up with somebody else and lap them. But nonetheless, you're never alone. Nobody runs alone. We're running all the race together. It's an us race. For Oxford Lake Baptist Church, our relay race started in 1953. It started as on Palmore Street. You can still visit the house to this day. It was a Sunday school in a basement that some people said, you know what, looking around White Lake, it looks like there needs to be a good gospel preaching church. And so it started as a Sunday school in 1953 on Palmore. There's books. You can see how the church had grown and got different pastors, and the Lord had changed the name. At one time, we were Pleasant Ridge Bible Church. I know it sounds crazy, but you ever consider how crazy Oxbow Lake Baptist Church is in White Lake on Elizabeth Lake Road? I didn't name it. But here's the thing. That generation from 1953, they've passed the baton on to us. This exists because they ran their race. And I can imagine 53, could they have dreamed what Oxford Lake Baptist Church would be in 1953? That's a long time ago. I won't say how long ago, because I know some of you were not there or here, but you were on earth, you know, back then. That's a lifetime ago. That's a long time ago. And they passed the baton. We stand on their shoulders. I think that's really cool. I had a gentleman just this last Sunday come to join the church. They work in Rock of Ages. And he said, I got saved at Oxford Lake Baptist Church under Pastor Acker. I love that. That is such a really cool thing. I've never got to meet Pastor Acker. I've heard a lot of great stories. I knew the good half. I knew Mrs. Acker. And boy, let me tell you, she got mad at me the day I told her she couldn't drive her lawnmower down Elizabeth Lake Road anymore and mow the lawn at the age of like 93. I had to be the bad guy. But man, you know what? We stand on their shoulders. We'll never know the heartbreak and the work and the sweat and tears that went in them. And then Pastor DeVerna coming up. And I know I'm not naming every single pastor. I'm just naming the ones I know of that would put a big, big thumbprint right in Oxford Lake Baptist Church. What amazing. And I know the deacons that stood behind them. One of our deacons, Don Farmer, stood beside Pastor DeVerna for years and years and years. I watched him do some really, make some hard decisions. I watched him do some amazing things. These are guys, they ran their race well. There's many of them. And we get to stand on their shoulders. We get to be a product of that. I mentioned, I just heard from Pastor DeVerna. He was here for 26 years, I believe, 26, 27 years as our pastor. God blessed the ministry under him. And I reached out to him. It was my 10th anniversary, I think, leading the church, and my 21st anniversary of just being with him. And I said, Pastor DeVerna, I just want to thank you for taking a chance on me 21 years ago. I got to stand on his shoulders. I didn't build this pulpit. He was here, his faithfulness and what he has done. And I just think that's awesome. We show gratitude to that. Like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, he says, I finished my course. Paul had did enough laps around. And Paul realized he's done. His ministry is just about over. He's finished his course. He's fought his fight. And it's awesome that he did, because we get to be here now. This many years later, still looking back and staying on his shoulders. And the more faithful we run, the better position we put the next generation in. Amen. I think it's super cool And I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but how many kids from my youth ministry are now in leadership here at Oxford Lake Baptist Church? Oh, you know, the kids, they grow up and they leave and they never come back. Hogwash, here they are. They're great. They're peers. They were my students. Now they're my equals. And I love taking counsel with them. And I've watched them grow up. And it's awesome. And so, again, that was a cool generation. Are you seeing the children we have now? Whoa. I tell you what. I say we run hard to give them the best because I think there's some talent. I think God has some great things he can do with this next generation coming up. All we have to do is hold on long enough, people, and we can hand it off to them. I think they're really cool what God's doing. I'm watching them work in each of these life. I think it's really, really exciting. And likewise, it only takes one generation to tank the race. Let's not let it be our generation. We have to run. Let's run forward to put the church in the best position to win souls and be a hospital of sinners. I think we've won, I don't know how many souls, but there's been a lot of souls won this year, and there's been a lot of people have come, they've been broken in their life, and they've been able to come and find help here at Oxford Lake Baptist Church. This is from 2025, in the 52 Sundays, or 53, I don't know how many there were this year, that we've had so far. So number one, run our race, because it's an us race, as well as an I race. And then number two, we got to run four, because our race is a hard race. You see, the focus on the passage of chapter 12 is not giving up. Because I can tell you, when you start running, you want to give up. That's why the Apostle Paul says, this is a way, I didn't explain this in such a way that you'll understand. He says, okay, running a race. I always run. Friday's my day off. It's been my day off for 100 years. I'll never change. My wife knows, first thing I do, I wake up, I change, I go out to the park, and I get my run in. Last Friday, if you're aware, it was freezing, raining. And so, but it's run day, right? Would you believe it? I was the only one at the park. I was the only person at the park. I was the only one out there. And can I tell you something? It was miserable. My wife goes, is it bad running in the rain? I don't mind running in the rain. It's when the rain stops, and then you're just soaking wet. I hate that, you know? But I'm out there slipping and sliding. Everything's icy, and you know, you're freezing cold, and you just, you know, it's a whole thing. And here's the focus here, because it's not easy. You know, do what the 99% won't do. And just don't be surprised they don't understand what the 1%'s doing. Go out there, and we're going to push. And so the Apostle Paul says, keep going. Even when it gets hard, keep going. Don't give up. Talent and abilities will not be enough. This is what he's telling us again. He says, again, making sure we don't have the sin and the weight that easily beset us. Let us run with patience. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We're told to run with patience. What is that? He's talking about the endurance. He's talking about faithfulness. That's what he's talking about. So we got to go forward. Run with patience, having that endurance to go. Because, you know, Solomon said something really cool. He says, the race isn't to the swift. The race isn't always to the swift. I know sometimes maybe we can get envy and we can look on the other side. We can say, oh, man, what if, boy, if we could just have what they have. Oh, things would be, we would have the talent. Oh, if we had, so-and-so can sing better, so-and-so can preach better. Oh, if we had their, if we had their location, if we had their, you know, Solomon's telling us, he goes, it's not always to the talent, the swift. It's not always that. We can get stuck at some times, and we really think that that's going to be the answer to everything. And a lot of times, the answer is just be faithful. Just keep going. Don't stop. Just keep moving forward, making progress. Sometimes it's funny because, like, we'll have some really awesome victories here. And I'm a guy that says, celebrate the victories, even the small ones. Celebrate them. You know what? Like, when my kids learned to walk, it was yay. It's not like, I've been doing this for 40 years, loser. It's not. Celebrate it. If somebody gets saved, gets victory, comes back to the Lord, celebrate it. If the God sends us guests, let's celebrate it. Let's get excited. If we have a big day at Oxford Lake Baptist Church, let's celebrate it. And I always, every time I want to celebrate, everybody wants to rain on my parade somehow. Like, I don't know why that is. Like, I worked really hard. Let me have the victory. You know, we want to celebrate. Do we realize, you know, the average church in America has about 65 people in it? And so I always say, you know what? Even on a really bad Sunday, do you know how many churches would kill to be where we're at right now? With the potential that we have right now? With the finances that we have? In the location that we have? I mean, God has set us up so well. God has been so faithful. I think we just recognize him for it. I think God has been so good. But anyways, the race isn't always to the swift. I told you the time that I signed up, when I ran 100 miles, it was amazing because there's not many 100-mile races across the country, so those are big-name celebrities that can, I mean, who really knows runners except for other runners, but it was funny. They show up, and I watched them quit. It was so wild in my brain because it rained all night, and it got really muddy. It was kind of like how the weather is today. It got really cold, really wet, and it was just miserable. Rachel's laughing because she remembers that she was out there. Calvin ran a lap with me, and it was, Calvin was trying to dodge the puddles. Remember, he's trying to keep his feet dry. I'll never forget that. I said, Calvin, just get your feet wet, man. It's just we watched a squirrel fall off a tree, got hit by lightning, fall off a tree while we were running, and then he watched me just. Well, anyways, it was a lot that night. But I'm gonna tell you, it was funny watching people quit, and they just like they were faster, they were more trained, they had the endurance, they had the crew with them, they had, you know. And here's just Sleepy Joe me just going on by them. It, just because you can win, just don't stop, just keep going, you know. Just keep moving. I know we want to quit sometimes. I know, and we're running, so it gets a little messy sometimes. But didn't Jesus say, let a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? We got to deny ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we got to deny ourselves retribution. Oh man, so-and-so hurt my feelings. Welcome to humanity. I don't think people mean to, but it happens. And I know I do it on accident, so I do sometimes too. I don't mean to, okay? But God has told us, he's given us the scripture how to get past these things. So our race doesn't have to grind to a halt constantly. We can move on because he says, deny yourself. I know you don't feel like it. Keep going. Keep going. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. And understand this, that people who don't run will attack us. That is one of the things, I always don't really try to lead with that, like, I'm a runner. Because people will be like, why? Like, what happened with you, the child? What trauma have you, you know? Because people think it's dumb. If I mention, I'm going to go, you know, people say, how far you run? I'm afraid to answer that question. How far you running Friday? I don't even want to answer it. And I'm like, I don't know, 10, 12 miles. You know you're going to lose your knees, right? You know you're going to have a heart attack. I don't think I wish I was right now, you know? people will. And somehow it's your fault they're not running. And there's been time, be honest with you, in this last year, yeah, there's been some great victories, there's been heartaches. And when I've had those hard conversations, I just said, hey, I want to let you remember this. We're still moving. We're still here. You are welcome to it. But if you quit, we're still here for you. We'll welcome you back. But we have to keep moving. And it's not our fault. You left us. We didn't leave you. Because we're going to still move forward. We have to move forward. And again, it gets messy sometimes. You know, people quit when they feel like it's no longer worth it. Because I'm going to ask you, it's hard. I get that. I think church is hard. I think life's impossible without it. But I think it's hard sometimes. Verse 2 again, looking on to Jesus. You know, that's where our focus needs to be. Looking on to Jesus. Endured the cross to get you into the arena. He endured the cross to get us into the Colosseum there to run the race. He paid so much to get us into the house of God right here, Jesus Christ did. There is no church without the spilt blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his all for us. Why would we give it up now? And it's going to get hard. And I said this 52 weeks ago. It's going to get hard. Don't quit on us. We won't quit on you. We got to keep moving forward. And number 3, if we can round this out, we got to run forward because our race is a focused race. Again, a race is from point A to point B, right? We can't live our whole life and get saved and be exactly where we were saved because it's like having that marriage that you don't have like 40 years of marriage experience. You have the same 1 year 40 times. Does that make sense? That's a lot of Christians. They have the same baby Christian mentality 40 years in a row. We have to move forward, get from point one to the rest. Everything else has to wait. You can't decide today, well, you know what, I'm going to sign up. I know Brother Josh is. He's all fired up now. He's like, that's it. I'm going to sign up. Forget CrossFit. I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to sign up. You can't, I don't know what other hobbies you have. I don't know what it is, but you can't decide, well, I'm going to knit a sweater while I'm doing it, right? No, you run the race. You got to stay focused. There's not this and something else, right? It's God's will or it's nothing. You can't do God's will and something else. And we're warned of hindrances in verse 1. Besetting sins. I hate sin, don't you? That besetting sin. The really direct translation is that persistent thwarting. I love that word, thwarting. Persistent thwarting. Every time I get my life straight, every time I get going for the Lord, the same thing. this dumb thing comes up every time. He says, you know, we got to lay aside whatever that thwarting sin is, whatever that is, whatever that little gatekeeper the devil's just allowed to put in our hearts. And so he stays as a puppy as long as we don't rear up and try to do something for the Lord. That thing, you know, get away from that. And then there's just weights. Weights aren't bad. Weights are great, but the problem is they slow you down. They wear you out. Going back to that day, I was telling you about, I ran 100 miles. It rained and rained and rained, and there was a girl in front of me running, and she was all of 98 pounds, soaking wet, and was just soaked. And I had this beautiful waterproof outer shell, and it's just pouring. And I looked, I said, "Oh, this is." I took it off. And I said, "Hey, would you, I think you," because she was just, you know, shivering. She had no body fat, keep her warm. And so all I had was a sweatshirt. And you know what a sweatshirt is, apparently? It's a giant sponge. And so as I'm running in the rain, the sponge I'm getting tired. And so finally the rain went away. I think it was at you, Calvin. I took it off and handed it to you. And he's like, this thing weighs so much, you know? And it wears you down. They say, I think it was for running it is, I think every extra pound of weight adds 2 seconds per mile using the same. And you may say 2 seconds per mile is not a lot. It is over 100 miles. It's 2 seconds, you know, one Mississippi, one Louisiana, two Louisiana, okay? That's a lot, okay? And it adds up, and it's just waste of space. And so there are just some things in our life that, you know, the Lord may say, hey, look, I know it's not a sin, but it's a weight. And you need to give it up. Lay aside the sin, do that by following Jesus, and then put aside the weight so you don't slow down and wear out. I think I gave the example of my dog. He's a good boy. His name is Chuck. And the whole reason I got Chuck, a lot of you have met Chuck, is to be my running partner. And so I trained him. It was during the winter. I trained him. And the mistake I made with him was in the winter, there's these big paved trails. And I trained, he'd lock in by my side. He didn't need a leash or nothing. He'd just stay right by my side. And as long as there wasn't a squirrel or anything, he was pretty good. And it worked out really well. Then summer came, and I like to go out. I don't like the pavement in the summer. I like to get into the single track, if you know what I'm talking about. A good single track, little hollow out canoe, little, you know, in the woods. And the problem is he still wants to be leading me and by my side. And so every time I'd run, he'd hit my ankle, and he'd clip my ankle behind me as I was running, and I'd almost want to trip and fall because it's like, and I'm like, Chuck, get behind me, right? But he doesn't speak English, so, you know, I couldn't. And finally, I'll be honest with you, he's like, how old is he now, 12 years old? I don't take him running anymore because he wants to lead me. He won't get in line. And the problem is when he tries to challenge me, he ends up tripping me, and I end up kicking him. And so sometimes what we're trying to say is, having our focus race, be careful of the chucks out there. That here you have a course, and you have someone kind of trip you all the time trying to get in your way. And in other ways, don't be a chuck. Be careful as we run forward. Don't be someone else's tripping hazard all the time. Because as we go into 2026 and we end 2025, you know, I tried to explain this the best I could, and 50-some weeks ago, that it seems like as a church we've been kind of locked into this awkward walk-jog thing. And the Lord put on my heart that our church is just a rocket ready to just take off. And it's fun been watching. I have the best view in the church. You all don't. I get the best view. I get to see what's happening. And not just in here, but in the community. And if you've noticed, it's really cool how the Johnsons and the Phelps could tell you, this place has grown up. And I'm talking about within 2 miles of Oxford Lake Baptist Church. It is amazing. We got that ugly library now. We're going to have, I don't know how the Township Hall, if you notice the big building out here, it is the public safety building. Our police and fire are going to be right there. We're going to have our township. We have all these, there's a lot of invested here. Here, all of a sudden, like, how weird is it, Ralph, if we would have said 20 years ago the Oxbow Lake Baptist Church would be the White Lake Downtown Church? All of a sudden, we're downtown, and it's great, and it's funny that, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, that the police called, and they had an emergency with somebody, and they said, we have somebody who's going to freeze to death. And no one, there's no community help. Can Oxford Lake Baptist Church help them? I said, yeah, we can help them. We housed them, we fed them, we got food, and we did everything we possibly could. But the thing is, the township came to us. There's a lot of different places they could have gone. What a privilege that is. I was contacted by our township, too. I mentioned this the other day, the township supervisor says, I want you to come to the meeting, and as we close out the year, we need prayer. We want prayer for our township. And they called me to come out there, represent our church, to pray. This is cool. God's doing a great work. I believe that God wants to do some great things here. And in my heart, it was just, we need a year to run. I want to run as a godly husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a church member. And I found out through the year that I wasn't the only one tired of walking. And I'm not talking about anything being worldly or anything like that. I'm just talking about just getting busy about what God has for Ox Lake Baptist Church. And you know what we found? 2025, now listen, there's some heartaches. I think in the ministry, it was one of my hardest years as a pastor. I'll be honest with you. My hair even got grayer, if you can even imagine, right? It's been hard. There's been some difficult battles that have been difficult and taxing and heartbreaking. But if we close the year out, have you seen what God's doing here? Isn't it getting hard to remember the names now? I mean, God is growing his church. The gospel light is attracting people, and people are getting help. It is amazing what God is doing here. Because we decided to run, we decided to just not float through another year. God blessed us this year. I wouldn't trade this year in for anything. In fact, I want to double up and I want to run harder, which, by the way, that's not the theme for next year, run harder. But just stop and think about how much the church, that God has blessed the church in this last year. I know there was some difficult times, probably a lot of them you're not even aware of. But let me tell you something. I've never seen what God is doing, what he's doing now. It's incredible. So where are you at now? How is your race? I know we talked about it. I know sometimes a theme starts really big and as the year goes on, kind of fades a little bit. And sometimes you just lose passion. Sometimes you just don't want to anymore. And sometimes, like we end up in the end of verse 3, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We lose our focus and we kind of give up. And I shared with you, I don't know if you remember this example, I shared this the first Sunday morning of 2025 about the story of, I'm going to try to get the name right again, Shizo Kanakuri. You guys all know Shizo Kanakuri, right? Yeah. He was a Japanese runner, and he has the Guinness World Book record for running the slowest marathon in the universe. You say, what is the slowest marathon? Because now you're thinking, hey, you know what? I've always wanted to beat a record. This might be one I could do, right? You might be thinking that. Like, I bet you I could run a slower marathon. Okay, this is how long it's going to take you, because the record stands as of right now, 54 years, 8 months, 6 days, 5 hours, 32 minutes, and 20.3 seconds. I mean, I don't know if I have 54 years left. But if I want to start, I guess I could now. We'll say, well, what happened? Well, it was the 2012 1912 Olympics. In 1912 Olympics, about midway through, it got to be 90 degrees out, got very hot. And so as Mr. Kanakuri got really warm, he kind of took a break, and he just realized that, man, there's just no way I'm going to, and he didn't want to dishonor his country, and he thought really bad, so he thought the best way to do it was just to peace out and disappear and quit. And so he did never finish the course. He just left the course and forgot about it. And then in 1967, he was invited back to finish. And the cool thing was, he got back, he finished the course, and got the record of 54 years, 8 months, 6 days, 5 hours, 32 minutes, and 20.3 seconds. The 0.3 seconds hurts. I don't know why that is. It's just somebody's really there the whole time, like 0.3, you know? Well, the scriptures tell us in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Maybe this year everything I've said today seems completely foreign to you. I never ran, I don't know. I'm just saying wherever you got, maybe you tripped and you fell. That's the beauty, because look at, maybe you tripped and you fell, all right? And you've been down there like Mr. Kanakuri for a while. It's an oval track. Let us come around, pick you up. You're not lost. Get back up and come with us again. It's okay. I've been backsliding for a while. This is the one thing I love about Ox Lake Baptist Church. You know, I've seen where people, they do some damage and they get upset. But you are so willing to receive them back so quickly. I love that. It's almost like getting smitten on the one cheek and then turning the other cheek right away. And so there's no reason to be embarrassed. Just, okay, we're coming back around. We'd love to have you with us again. Let's get up. Let's go. We're ready to run again. It doesn't matter wherever you stopped. Here's the good news. It's a loop. You're not lost. You're not behind. Just get up and quit, start going again with us. And so as we just kind of close out with prayer, we're done. We last sermon for 2025. Maybe God would put on your heart. You'd say, you know, with God's help, I'm going to run forward. We ran. It's been hard. There's been some bumps. I get it. There's been some trips. There's been some falls. But man, we wouldn't change it for the world. With God's help, I will continue to run forward.